Welcome back to the Community Online Podcast. Remember, you can always find us on Sundays streaming live at communityonline.tv. We hope to see you there.
In his book, The Divine Commodity, author Sky Jatani shares a story from a trip he took to India with his father. While walking the streets of New Delhi, a little boy approached them, and Sky said that he was skinny as a rail and naked but for tattered blue shorts. His legs were stiff and contorted, like a wire hanger twisted upon itself. Because of his condition, the little boy could only waddle along on his callous knees. He made his way towards Sky and his father and cried out, "One rupee, please, one rupee." Sky describes what happened when his father eventually responded to the boy's persistent begging. "What do you want?" Sky's father asked. "One rupee, sir," the boy said, while motioning his hand to his mouth and bowing his head in deference. Sky's father laughed. "How about I give you 5 rupees, he said. But the boy's countenance suddenly became defiant. He retracted his hand and sneered at Sky's dad. He thought the man was joking, having a laugh at his expense. After all, no one would willingly give up 5 rupees. So the boy started shuffling away, mumbling curses under his breath. But when Sky's father reached into his pocket and the boy heard the coins jingle, he stopped and looked back over his shoulder. Sky's father was holding out a 5-rupee coin, and he approached the stunned boy and placed the coin into his hand. The boy didn't move or say a word. He just stared at the coin as Sky and his father proceeded to cross the street. A moment later, Sky said, the shouting resumed, except this time the boy was yelling, thank you, sir, bless you. Reflecting on this experience, Sky writes, "This, I imagine, is how God sees us. In desperate need of his help, but rather than ask for what we truly need, rather than desiring what he is able and willing to give, we settle for lesser things." Let me ask you, what do you truly need? When you think of what you've asked God for lately, have you limited your request to things you deem reasonable, shying away from the deeper longings of your heart? Could it be that you and I are asking for a rupee when what is available to us is something far greater that God is able and willing to give? Today, we are continuing our series, Above All Names. Writing 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah gives 4 descriptive names for the Savior who would be born. He writes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." During this series, we're examining each of these names and what they tell us about who Jesus is and who he wants to be in our lives. And today we're looking at the 2nd of the 4 names, the name that speaks to Jesus's power. Jesus is Mighty God. The Hebrew phrase that we translate Mighty God is El Gabor, and it could also be translated God is a Mighty Warrior. The name refers to someone with exceptional strength, courage, and power. But this title doesn't just speak to Jesus' power, it also speaks to his identity. Jesus is God. The belief that Jesus is God is not something people fabricated over the centuries. As he grew up and became a man, Jesus himself claimed to be God. His Jewish countrymen were ready to kill him when he publicly declared, "I and the Father are one." Jesus accepted worship as God. When his disciple Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God," Jesus praised Thomas for his belief. And Jesus claimed to be able to do things that only God can do, like forgive sins. Yet, Jesus being God was a stumbling block to many in the first century, and continues to be a stumbling block for many today. A lot of people struggle with Jesus's claim of divinity. Some are much more comfortable describing him as a good teacher and an honorable man. But in his classic work, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis gives us an important caution to people who believe Jesus was just a great human teacher. He writes, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse." Everything hinges on what we believe about Jesus, and everyone must choose. Jesus wasn't simply born at Christmas. He is the eternal God who came into the world. The baby lying in the manger is not just a cute newborn. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Mighty God. Now, we wouldn't normally think of a baby as having much power, would we? Don't get me wrong. We love seeing cute little babies all swaddled up. You know, cute little babies like this one. Any guesses on who this is? Well, despite any similarities to Ed Norton Jr., it's actually our lead pastor, Dave Ferguson. Or this one. Isn't that adorable? Any guesses to who that is? It's actually Ted Canaris, our lead pastor apprentice. And finally, have any guesses as to who this is? Yep, that's me. I'm thinking about going back to that hairstyle. We don't really think of babies as having power. Well, on second thought, there's a lot of power when they're screaming, when they're hungry. But other than that, we don't think of babies as being mighty. They're dependent on us for everything, sort of powerless in a sense. Yet in Jesus' case, his power was revealed before he could even sit up. Jesus' power stirred the galaxies as a star appeared to mark the place of his birth. Jesus' power drew shepherds from nearby fields who eagerly ran to get a glimpse of him. Jesus' power was even a threat to the king. Herod tried to eliminate this baby before he could even speak a word. As Jesus grew into a man, his power was revealed through his miracles. He turned water into wine. He healed incurable diseases. He raised people from the dead. But the ultimate revelation of Jesus' power came in his death and resurrection. Though the religious leaders and Roman officials condemned him and sent him to the cross, don't ever think that death was something that happened to him. He laid his life down of his own accord. And by his power, he took it up again. Through his resurrection, Jesus demonstrated his incomparable might over evil and darkness. He overcame the impossible, power over death, power over life. And here is the truly amazing reality for us. Jesus's power is available to you and to me. Let me say that again. Jesus's power is available to you and to me. He is willing and able to give us his power. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian Christ followers, shares this word of hope. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." He goes on to say, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. As Christ followers, we have his incomparably great power power available to us. It's not just a little bit of power. It's not just a rupee's worth of power. No, the same incomparable power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and to me. By the Spirit of God living inside of us, we have access to God's power. We don't have to go looking for it or muster up enough strength or smarts to get it. We already have it. It is in us. So why don't we experience more of this power in our lives? Well, perhaps because we've been chasing the wrong kind of power. No one imagined the Messiah as a baby. No one expected him to be born in a stable and laid in a manger. No one thought he would experience homelessness, stoop down to wash people's feet, and die on a cross. No, they thought that he would come with military might. They expected a conquering king. They imagined him ruling a kingdom of this world. And too often, we look for power in the wrong places. We expect to find it in corner offices and in bank accounts, in titles and in expensive shoes, in our own abilities and efforts to control. Is there power in those things? I suppose there can be, but any power found in the systems of this world is but a vapor. It won't last. In the end, everything in heaven and on earth will bow to the Lord of Lords, to the King of Kings, to Jesus. And when our eyes are open to this reality, we will discover that our mighty God gives us the kind of power we truly need. And this power comes in several forms. It is the power to press on. There are seasons of life when we just need the power to make it through. Am I right? Maybe you're in one right now. You're just asking for the strength to make it through this month, this week, or even just this day. This is the power you really need. Maybe you feel tired. The busyness of the Christmas season can wear us out. Perhaps your mind is filled with anxiety. Maybe during this season, you have to navigate difficult relationships and situations. If that's you today, I want you to know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you, and his power can get you through any difficult situation in any difficult season. For you today, we echo the Apostle Paul's prayer that you would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. In the original language of Paul's letter to the Colossians, this word translated according to is the word we would use for something going downstream according to the current of the river. That's such a good word picture for God's power. The river's current carries the swimmer along. He or she has to swim too, of course, but the current helps the swimmer to go further and faster with less effort. I picture the challenging seasons in our lives like swimming in a river with class 3 or 4 rapids. If you've ever been whitewater rafting, the guide will tell you, if and when you fall out, don't try and swim back to the boat. Float downstream and hook up with another raft or swim to the side and wait for us. It's just too hard to swim upstream. When you fall out of the boat, the best thing you can do is relax and let the power of the current carry you downstream to a place of safety. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says, "And so it is when our weakness swims in the stream of God's almighty power. Our God is the God who gives power to the faint." A number of years ago, I experienced one of the most difficult seasons of my life. I was a few years into planning a church, a location of community that I had moved into the city to start. And while so many good things were happening and people were finding their way back to God, I was exhausted. I'd let myself become pretty overwhelmed with the challenges of starting a new church in the city, and I'd run myself ragged trying to make it successful. Along the way, some who had been a key part of starting the church decided to leave, and I was heartbroken. I felt alone. Honestly, I started to wonder if I was going to be added to the statistics of pastors who burn out and quit. I started imagining what it would be like to be in my 40s living in my parents' spare bedroom. I was at the end of myself. But looking back, I can clearly see how the power of God carried me through. All I could do was surrender myself to Him every morning, trusting that He would get me through, and He did. He showed up in my life through people and new opportunities and a season of rest. He rekindled my joy and filled me with peace. Our mighty God will carry you through the rapids in your life. Maybe some of us have been trying to swim against the current, trying to make it through a difficult season on our own. Whether it's a season of life or just this Christmas season, perhaps it's time to stop trying to swim upstream, to let go and allow the presence and power of Jesus to carry you forward. Our mighty God wants to give you the power to press on. But it's not just for the difficult seasons that the power of God is available to us. Our mighty God also wants to give us the power to partner with Him. God has a purpose for our lives, for your life, for my life, for our lives together. He places dreams in our hearts that are part of His larger plan to reach people far from Him, to restore His dream for this world, to reproduce His mission in others. He wants to partner with us to bless the world. Now, if you're anything like me, when God places a dream on my heart, my first reaction is usually to feel inadequate. I see all the challenges, I'm intimidated by the barriers, I question my own ability, but here's the truth. When our dreams align with the purposes of God, there is no challenge. There is no barrier. There is no inadequacy that is a match for His power. Paul writes, "Now to Him who is able to do how much more? Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Our mighty God is able to accomplish immeasurably more than we can even think to ask or imagine. He wants to give us the courage to chase big dreams. He wants to accomplish things through us that will blow our minds and take our breath away. I want to walk around in stunned astonishment at the power of God. I want to stand back and marvel as He uses us to bring glory to His name. Don't you? Our mighty God wants to partner with us to do more than we can even ask or imagine. He makes His incomparable, immeasurable power available to us. So, let me ask you again, what do you truly need? What do you truly need? Don't keep asking for rupees when what is available to you is the power of our mighty God. Where do you need His power in your life? Perhaps you are in a challenging season. Do you need our mighty God to help you persevere in the middle of a difficult relationship or a challenging job or a battle with addiction? Or perhaps you need His power to take the next step in your relationship with Him, to chase a dream He's placing on your heart, to start living His purpose for your life. I want you to close your eyes for just a second, and in the quietness of this moment, I want you to say a silent prayer to our mighty God. It's just you and Him in this moment. He knows your heart. He loves you. He is near. So in the stillness of this moment, talk to Him. Complete this simple sentence. Jesus, I need your power to tell Him what you need. Friends, He hears you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. This Christmas, let's not miss the mighty God, the truly powerful one. He is present with us today, and he wants to do a work with his mighty power in us and through us. 2,000 years ago, our mighty God broke into our world on that very first Christmas, and nothing has ever been the same. He wants to break into your world today. The one who is all-powerful empowers us to live a life of courage and hope. So as I close, let me pray Paul's great declaration and prayer over us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Our mission is to help you find your way back to God. And by listening today, you've already taken your first step. And we'd love to help you take a next step in your relationship with God, the church, and the world. It's how we're all embracing the flourishing life that Jesus talks about, a life we call U+. Visit communitychristian.org to take a next step, learn more, give generously, and plan your visit. We hope to see you on a Sunday soon.